Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
And we are joined right now by our great friend, Madison, from the Southwood County Humane Society. Good morning, Madison.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. And we've got a new furry friend to tell the audience about, although he has already introduced himself.
Yes.
Who do we have with us today?
This is Mr. Vanilla Ice. Vanilla Ice is about a year and a half old. He came to us from another shelter that was having issues with space. And then he was adopted, but he was recently just returned due to no fault of his own. But he's a pretty good boy. He's neutered already, up to date on vaccines and microchipped. Definitely a dog with a lot of energy, though.
Yes, yes, a lot of energy, a lot of personality. Very sweet, very kind, very curious. How old is he?
He is a year and a half old.
Okay,
so
yeah.
He most likely is a lab husky mix is our best guess. He's got a lot of energy. He will tell you what's on his mind.
Yes, yes. We do want to say a gigantic shout out to our friends at the Collar Club sponsoring this segment. The Collar Club is currently having a sale to show both new and regular members some love this Valentine's season. New members receive 25% off their first order or service, and regular clients receive 50% off. The Collar Club, you're right, buddy. The Collar Club, keeping your pets happy and safe while you're away. Be sure to check them out, everybody. They're a great local business, mm-hmm. great people over there. My fur brother recommends them. My fur brother Sammy recommends them very highly. Madison, is there anything we should know right out the gate about Vanilla here?
Yeah, so Vanilla here, with him being potentially a very high-energy breed dog, he is a dog that's going to need work and exercise. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of energy. He wants to run. He is a dog that is known to run away, so he is a dog that needs some sort of outlet to be able to release that energy. So whether that's a dog park or whether that's room to run, that kind of situation, he just needs that energy to run.
Both the dogs my parents had, they got from the Humane Society and everything. And their first dog, Zeppelin, very similar to Vanilla here, a lab mix, and Zeppelin would run away. He was like Barry Sanders, and he's running, just like a beautiful runner and all this, but we didn't know how to catch him. We couldn't keep up with him and all this. And the only way we found was the neighbors across the street had a dog. I would pet that dog, Zeppelin would get jealous and come over to me. It worked every time. Every time it worked. Most of these dogs are really, they don't want to run away. They get distracted, squirrel, and they take off, and most of them find their way back or know where they're home. It's also something good to keep in mind to know ahead of time. That's very helpful, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, he is a fantastic dog. With him being young, he's still got lots of room for growth for the aspect of learning new tricks or learning how to be a house dog and all of that. So he's a fantastic dog, just needs the right person.
Yeah, I love his eyes, too. Another one of those animals with those two different colored eyes. It's just really noteworthy. Very beautiful.
Yeah, he's got the one blue eye and then the one blue and brown eye. So the very tip of his eye is just a little bit of blue and brown. So.
Very handsome dog. Very, very handsome dog. I want to take him home. Madison, let's talk a little bit about the event you guys got coming up, the Super Snow Sculpture Spectacular. It is going to be going on this Friday, the 11th. It'll be from 1 to 2 o'clock over at the Ridges Golf Course and Banquet Center. This is a really fun event.
9 to 2, not 1 to 2.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yep, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's me. My eyesight is just bad, I guess. I'm sorry. Yeah, it is right there. You're going to have a lot of cool stuff with this, some snow sculpting, some contests, a lot of that.
Yep, we're very excited for it. So we've got the raffle baskets, we have the live music. We are still looking for snow sculptors. I know with the weather, we're still kind of playing that by ear. So we're hoping for some snow, but we're still playing that by ear. But we are still looking for bags teams. So if you are interested and you want a two-person team, it is $20 to register. And you can call the shelter to sign up for a team, or you can call ahead. So.
Excellent. You know, we've had a lot of these in the past, and we've had years where we didn't have that much snow with these, and there's still an amazing turnout, still amazing, like, things to do, a lot of fun. You're going to have some great music down there. Our great friend here at the radio station, we've had Ben Shittek join us a billion times. Ben's going to be down there. along with Tom DeWitt and friends. They're going to have a good time. And actually, I kind of find it as a challenge to some when there's not as much snow and everything, what you can do, what you can come up with.
Right.
And you're not going to find many better causes or many better ways to help a nonprofit than something like this, and that helps our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society. When it comes to being able to help you guys right now, Madison, what are some of the things that we can let the audience know that they could do to kind of give you guys an extra hand?
Yeah, so we are always looking for donations. So especially with kitten and puppy season approaching soon, we are always in need of donations and supplies. We will be opening up our volunteer orientations again in March. We did close them for just a little bit to kind of give time for orientations now, but those will reopen at the end of March, so we'll have more volunteers at that time. And yeah, pretty much our donations and that, and showing up to our events.
Should we call ahead if we want to, like, you know, stop by, maybe help walk the dog in March? Mm-hmm. You know, calling ahead, that a good way to do it, kind of setting something up?
So all volunteers will have to complete an application and an orientation. Once that application and orientation is done, then you would be able to volunteer. We do have a Google sign-up sheet that would be sent to your email that then you would be able to sign up for shifts. We no longer allow you to just drop a driver's license and walk a dog anymore.
It makes sense. It's understandable. And it's the best thing for these animals, yep. Which is what this is all about. We domesticated these guys. We you know, kind of have a responsibility for this. And the more we can kind of help out you guys and all the heavy lifting you're doing over there, we greatly appreciate that work, and we greatly like being able to help.
Yeah, and we love our volunteers. The biggest thing is we just want to make sure our volunteers are also safe in the building, because sometimes these animals aren't always the most perfect animals in the world. They've got some trauma. They've got some stuff that's happened to them in the past. So sometimes it can be a sad situation, but we also want to make sure our volunteers that are in the building are as safe as possible, which is why we do the orientations for some behavior training.
It's a thing that you guys do at the Humane Society so well, and it is appreciated so much, where you put the animals first, and by doing that, sometimes it's it means the humans come second.
Yep.
And that's okay. That's the way this has to work sometimes. It's also really noteworthy that you mentioned you brought him in from another shelter. That is really cool, you guys, to be able to do that when you can. That's, you know, awesome.
Yeah. Very cool. We have, luckily, some really great partner shelters in Wisconsin as well as outside of Wisconsin that we work with if we need to move a dog that's been sitting for too long. So if I have a dog that's been sitting with me for 4 months and I haven't had a single application come in, then, yeah, we would love to be able to work with another facility that might have that different clientele to be able to adopt that dog quicker. So
I don't want to keep you too long, but I just one follow-up to that, because I know back with, 20 years ago or something like that, it didn't seem like Humane Societies communicated as much. It seems like you guys nowadays, you're all connected. You're all talking with each other more.
Yeah, and it's definitely, some shelters are still there, want to be by themselves, and that's okay, but we are starting to build a little bit better of a connection, at least with our partner shelters across the state of Wisconsin, because whenever there's resources that they need help, or say somebody gets slammed with a hoarding case of 115 animals, they can't hold that capacity. So being able to work and try to have those partnerships across, then we can kind of assist when others are in need. So
Let's let people know again one more time about the Super Snow Sculpture. It is coming up this weekend. How can people be a part of this?
Yeah, so our Super Snow Sculpture, if you are interested in being a part of a team, please stop by the shelter and register for that. If you are interested, all of our information is on our website and our Facebook page for the event. And then join us at the Ridges at 9 a.m.
And we'll be sure to send some people your way. We'll be talking about it this today and Saturday and over the back fence and stuff, too, and sending people over there. Mm-hmm. We want to send you over to the Collar Club, our sponsors this week. A gigantic thank you to them. Great people over there. Go check it out, everybody. They're really cool over there. The Collar Club is currently having a sale to show both new and regular members some love this Valentine's season. New members are going to receive 25% off their first order or receive regular or service, and regular clients receive 50% off the Collar Club, keeping your pets happy and safe while you're away. You can visit them. They are located over at 1921 Baker Drive in Wisconsin Rapids. 1921 Baker Drive. You can give them a call at 712-1250. 712-1250. And of course, our friends at the Southfield County Humane Society, you can find out more about them by going to their website, swchs.com. swchs.com. Be sure to give them a call as well at 423-0505. 423-0505. Follow them on social media, and maybe you'll be one of those lucky people that gets to know Vanilla here a little bit better.
Yeah.
Madison, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We love it.
I'm already looking forward to next week. All right, so I got to keep my spirits up until then.
Oh,
so we're looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Thanks for the time, Madison. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and I'm trying to focus on my job.
I want
to talk about dogs. I want to think about dogs. Dang it. All right, I'll do my job.
Come on.
Entertainment notes here.
There we go.
Get into a couple of entertainment things, and all is not well within the Journeyverse.
The Journeyverse?
God, I apologize for saying that sentence. That word, whatever
No.
We're talking about the band Journey right now, because apparently we're a classic rock station all of a sudden. I don't know what happened. Founding guitarist Neil Skaun and keyboardist Jonathan Cain have been at odds over several issues like politics and who gets to spend the band's money and how. They're doing a 50th anniversary tour right now, and Neil has been wanting to get original keyboardist Greg Roll back. But last month, his plans were vetoed. At the time, Neil's wife posted a message on Facebook saying that two members of the current lineup refused to let Greg return. She said, quote, "Let's ask God to find a way for them. Let's pray for forgiveness for those to hurt Greg Roll and all this." It's not clear what side Journey's current singer, Arnel Pineda, is aligned with, but last week he tweeted, "I'm with the band to sing with the legacy." To sing the legacy. I'm with the band to sing the legacy. I don't understand that sentence.
It's Twitter. That's a Twitter sentence, if ever there was one.
Yeah. If some of them are tired of me being with them, with all means, they can fire me anytime and don't lecture me about spiritual stuff.
Jeez.
#walkthetalk. On Monday, he posted a picture of one of his kids on Facebook and said, quote, "This boy is one of the main reasons why the very bad part of my life right now is so worth going through in all this stuff and everything." The kid thing, when you pull the kid out, and that's what you do on social media. If you are having a bad mark, if you got like bad stuff, bring out the kid.
Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't feel that way. But the kid didn't ask to be on social media. Doing that, please.
Yeah, I'm really tired of that. Then yesterday he tweeted, quote, "So much hatred. we're on the brink of all this hatred and all this. We need to spread the love." So basically what we're seeing here is Journey's lead singer is just begging them to fire him. That's what he's doing. He's making it easier and easier, tweet by tweet, for them to fire him.
I'm having a little a moment of schadenfreude here because I can't stand Journey.
Yeah.
I think they're one of the worst bands ever, and that's my personal opinion, of course. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of find it very funny that all this infighting going. What is it with classic rockers, dude? Yesterday it's Pink Floyd. Yeah, now it's Journey. What's going on, guys?
I never in my life thought I would say this, but I kind of miss the whole breaking up over artistic differences. Kind of miss
that.
Can
you do that? I mean, there's too much money in it now. Yeah, they can't quit. Yeah. They got to make the dollars, you know? So
The old adage, you don't want to meet your heroes, that kind of thing. Like, we're getting a little bit more and more of that as time goes on. It was kind of interesting to me that the band even continued without Steve Perry.
That's interesting, too. Such a distinctive voice, you know. One, personally, I can't stand, but it's still a distinctive voice, right? That's one of the reasons Journey was so popular.
And Steve Perry's still performing, doing his. It doesn't seem like he's been affected by the leaving them at all.
He's probably just sitting back and laughing, is my guess.
Steve Perry's 5'7".
I didn't realize that. He's not that tall.
I didn't realize that. I didn't realize he was that short. I don't know.
He's Tom Cruise size.
He's literally Tom Cruise size. I didn't know that. So I wanted to touch on this one too, and I have no idea. Like, I have no segue. I don't even know how to jump into this story, but it's kind of interesting.
Okay.
In a new interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Harrison Ford, one of the biggest box office stars of all time, the numbers are there. Harrison Ford was asked what he'd want in his tombstone.
Okay.
To which I would have responded, "Do you know something? Like, why are you asking me that?
Why? You do not like, I can just tell me you don't like my movies. You don't have to wish me gone."
He said, quote, "I wouldn't want it to be Harrison Ford, blah, 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 actor. I'd settle for was useful." When the interviewer replied that was a, quote, particularly reductive way to sum up a life, Harrison said, "Well, there's not a lot of space on the tombstone." God, is that a great response.
I hope.
That's a great response.
I hope that is what is totally on his tombstone. Yeah, that is so cool.
Ford also talked about Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny and how the original script had a lot of old jokes in it, like about him being old. He said, quote, We took them all out. I'd rather create behavior that is the joke of age rather than talk about it.
Oh, I see what he's talking about.
Well
okay.
done.
That's good.
Well done. One of my favorite things, because I have looked up to and enjoyed Harrison Ford's work mm-hmm. literally my whole life. My right. first movie in a movie theater is Star Wars mm-hmm. and all that. Big,
all that
big
stuff,
fan.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford not only ripping college's own,
yep.
But also Harrison Ford would prefer you to look at him as a construction or a carpenter more than an actor.
A crafter.
Yeah, yeah. That's his thing. That's yep. what he really feels like he's born to do. He's very good at. Acting for him is something he likes and enjoys, and it's a passion.
Of course, yeah.
But Harrison Ford, as he's kind of shown in his career by not only his choices, but by his mm-hmm. style of acting, he's not gonna do a bunch of like heavy lifting here. I'm the crazy person that goes in depth and has to have my every actor, every character I play have a different walk and a different accent mm-hmm. and all these
yeah,
things
right.
and stuff. Harrison Ford is like, all right, who am I playing? Right on. All right. Hey, I'm just like this guy. All right. And that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
There's no wrong way of doing
no.
this. It's his style over anybody else's. Everybody's yep. got their own way of doing it. Marlon Brando had his way. Harrison yep. Ford has his. Both very celebrated. Both very good at what they did.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford, man, it's more remarkable to me, though, that he is what he is. And I think I want him to do another 100 movies.
Yeah, right.
But I think at this point, he's closer to the end than the beginning.
Yes, he is.
So we can look at his body of work.
Right.
It's very impressive, especially, again, considering he's not a thespian.
No.
He's not.
And he's never claimed to be one.
No, not once.
Nope.
No.
He's a movie guy. He's a movie actor is what he is.
I heard Booger McFarland talking about this the other day when they were asking, because they asked Steve Young, what is retirement? And he immediately, without batting an eye, retirement's death. And then they asked Booger McFarland. He's like, well, I was kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I liked football. I loved football, yep. but it wasn't my main passion. It
yeah.
was what I was good at and I could make a living at.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, very similar.
Yep.
If he's not doing movies, he's working on some DIY project or something like that around his house and everything.
Exactly, or flying a plane or yes. doing all the other things he does.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say, one of the most telling things, I saw an interview with him in some documentary. Mm. They asked him, he said, well, what was it like when, you know, Star Wars was a hit? And you now were a star. You know, you were Han Solo. You were a star. What was your reaction? And he said, he starts rubbing his hands together and he says, now I can go to work. That's what he said. That's what his reaction
wow.
was.
Oh, is that good?
Which is exactly what happened, because then he went to work, man. I mean,
yeah.
doing all these roles and all this stuff. So, yep, he's very much a, you know, we say it a lot, you know, Midwestern guy, because he is.
Yeah.
He's from Illinois, you
yeah,
know, and he
yeah.
went to school in Wisconsin. And you know, he's kind of got that mentality. He's always had that mentality.
He has. It's just still interesting to me to hear that stuff sometimes,
yeah.
you know? Like, because you think you understand it, and then you hear something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. Just interesting.
Yeah.
Just interesting. I got a quick list here we're going to go through, because we got a couple of these. So we're going to get to this list, and then a little bit later when we come back after Melissa's news, we're going to get into movies that were originally TV shows and TV shows that were originally movies.
Okay.
But for now,
okay.
the ultimate list of the most hated rock songs albums according to Classic Rock. So rock's most hated songs and albums.
Okay.
So for the songs list, I don't want to miss a thing from Aerosmith, Kokomo from the Beach Boys,
oh.
Sussudio from Phil Collins, We Didn't Start the Fire from Billy Joel, and Shiny Happy People from R.E.M. And Katie Pearson, B-52s.
Yes.
I think she was in that, too.
Yeah, she did one of the vocals, yep.
Number six, We Built This City from Starship. Mr. Roboto from Styx. And Silly Love Songs from Paul McCartney and Wings.
All right.
So I don't mind We Didn't Start the Fire. It did get a little overplayed.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Sure.
But I have to agree with the rest of that list.
Most
I'm
of them
sorry.
Are right pretty much on the mark.
Yeah.
They are on the mark.
I don't want to miss a thing. I don't think that's a bad song. I just heard it so dang much that I can't take it. Can't do it. It's too cheesy for me. It's just not
it's
my
It's so
thing.
Weird. It seemed like a very... you know, I don't want to rag on anybody about, you know, making, you know, making, doing their living and stuff. It seemed like a cash in for Aerosmith. It really did.
I believe that album was called Eat the Rich, and which was always hilarious to me because every one of the members of that band is rich.
Yeah, very rich, yeah.
Very, very, very rich, yes. And I've seen Aerosmith live. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Joe Perry, or Joe...
No, you're right, I think. It's Joe Perry. The guitarist, yeah.
Yeah, incredible guitar player.
Yeah.
I've always known he was a great guitar player. I didn't know until seeing him live. When they did Ragdoll, they drag out the slide guitar, and it's real slow that they're doing it. While it's going out there, like a bunch of people that you could tell had seen Aerosmith many times start freaking out. Like, because apparently they didn't do it at every show.
Oh, wow.
And they bring it out, and to see a man do a guitar solo on a slide guitar.
Like a lap. Well, yeah.
That was cool. Very impressive band. Steven Tyler, very good showman, very good frontman.
Great for frontman, yeah.
And yes, they like their money. Yeah. But like a lot of musicians.
I'm not going to give them that, but it just seems that way, yeah.
I can never Hansa Studio, and I can never. Shiny Happy People is one of the like top five hated songs of all time. Top five hated songs, yes. Can't handle it. Can't handle it.
My 90s bumper is coming up here. Okay. Get my ideas now.
What have I done? albums wise, this is kind of interesting, I think, actually.
All right.
Number one, you want to start at number 10?
Yeah, let's do it backwards on this one.
Number 10, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the 1978 movie soundtrack that included Peter Frampton, the Bee Gees, and Alice Cooper. I think that's about you hear the originals and then you hear the covers. And
yeah.
It's, you know, bad cover after bad cover after bad
cover.
Not
going to do it for you. No, no.
I can't imagine like doing a Beatles song right now, covering a Beatles mm-hmm. song, let alone covering a Beatles song when they're at the heart of their the peak of their, you know,
yeah,
fandom.
Right. Yep.
And a lot of the band members were producers on these songs.
Yeah.
So they're right there as I'm Peter Frampton trying to do, you know, Lucy
whatever,
in the Sky
yeah.
or whatever or something like that. Yeah. I don't think that helped the album any.
No. And it was a terrible movie. I mean, that didn't help either, but yeah.
Number 9 on the list, Trans from Neil Young. Yeah. That's
I don't know if I've ever heard that one. Not that I'm a big Neil Young fan, but
I don't think a lot of people have.
Yeah.
Van Halen 3 from Van Halen. Dirty Work from the Rolling Stones. Lulu from Lou Reed and Metallica.
Oh, no. Yeah. That just sounds bad. No, no.
Unfinished Music, number 1, Two Virgins from John Lennon and Yoko Ono.
Oh, that's a, yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's tough to listen to.
I've got a lot of Kiss fans that I'm friends with, including, I think, maybe the biggest Kiss fans I know, I've ever known, and my buddy Steve and Dan over at Images and Ink.
Yeah.
And most of them will tell you, Music from the Elder from Kiss is easily one of their worst. One of the worst albums of all time.
Period. Yeah.
And these are the biggest Kiss fans you'll meet, and they'll tell you that. Love Beach from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. I'm not familiar
I'm not even familiar with that one. Wow.
I have to look that up real quick here. I'm not sure. Next, Self Portrait from Bob Dylan. Also another one that is considered one of the worst.
Yeah, that one is not so much his fault, though. That was the record company did that one. So, yeah. But anyway, but still, he recorded the music, so, yeah.
I'm just taking a quick look at that Emerson, Lake, and Palmer album.
Yeah, right.
On side one, I'm not saying any singles. Yeah.
And do you have what year it came out? I'm kind of curious of what year that thing came out.
Real quickly, I'm not seeing any singles. And side one and two were just kind of like prolongs and Memoirs of an Officer and a Gentleman. Oh, my God. That's
pretentious. That's so really, pretentious.
1978.
78, okay.
It was released.
All right.
Again, fan of the band.
Yeah.
Lucky
Man. We'll just say that, mm-hmm, right? Yeah.
And the number one on this this list, To the Hard Way, Allman and Woman. This is Greg Allman and Cher. Yeah. Yeah.
Were they married for like 9 days or something like that?
It went about as well as their marriage.
Their marriage went.
You could listen to the album and boy, I wonder why those two didn't work out.
Then like they didn't hit it off.
Yeah, yeah. They listened to the album, no chemistry whatsoever. None. You got two greats in Greg Allman and Cher.
Yeah.
Both incredibly good at what they did. And yeah, nothing. Similarly, all these acts have multiple, not just like one hit wonders, multiple selling albums are great.
In the millions, right? Yeah.
I think this is encouraging to young artists. You know, if you're a young artist, especially if you're a young musician and you, I just haven't had that big hit yet. I haven't had that big song. Well, you can have it and still come up with bad stuff.
Some dogs, some real dogs. And, and that's a good way to kind of look at this, is that even the best musicians are going to come out with some real, some dreck. Yeah.
The Beatles showed up on this list a couple of times. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, nobody's questioning the Beatles' musical talents.
No.
Even if you're not a Beatles fan, you're not going to question it. The Rolling Stones are on here. Lou Reed. I mean,
exactly.
There's a lot of
some of the best bands, yeah.
In fact, all these acts are kind of legends, I mean, pretty much, in one way or another. So, pretty interesting list. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and have some more fun after Melissa's news. It's the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. That beat.
I know.
Boom, boom, boom. Welcome back, everybody.
Can't have 80s bumpers without Hall & Oates.
You got to have at least one Hall & Oates in there.
Yeah.
Yep. We are going to have some fun things taking you up to the top of the hour. Well, we'll welcome our guests from Morning Magazine. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But for now, here are movies that were originally TV shows and TV shows that were originally movies.
All right.
This should be a fun list to get through here.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed put together a list of movies that, you know, just what I just got done telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the top 10. So number one, Final Destination.
Huh?
The Final Destination movies were huge.
Yeah, I remember that.
They made about five or six of those or whatever, and they had their run. You know, they had a moment in the sun before they were released straight to video and all that and everything.
Yep.
Well, Final Destination was originally going to be an episode of The X-Files.
What?
It never ended up getting made.
Wow.
The script stuck around, and ended up getting a couple of guys who actually wanted to do other horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the guys ended up taking some of the money he made from those movies to do the Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, wow.
Which I just referenced the other day.
Yeah, that's
enough.
Right.
But so that is really, you don't see that happen very often.
That's rare. Yeah.
That was pretty cool. The Queen's Gambit was going to be a film directed by the late, great Heath Ledger, but he passed away.
Oh, wow.
So it sat there in limbo for a very, very long
development
time.
Development hell.
And then Elliot Page was set to play the lead, but then that didn't happen. But, still a very interesting storyline with that.
That's fascinating, yeah.
And it's also a great note because Heath Ledger was kind of building towards this in his career. He wanted to get behind the camera. He wasn't really comfortable in the public eye.
Yes.
As, unfortunately, I think that led to his death.
Right.
You know, having to be on prescriptions and just... He had so much going on, and he had two different doctors in two different countries telling him, you know, telling him they were looking out for his best interest when they weren't.
Yep.
Clueless could have been a show called No Worries. It was actually going to be a TV show, but turned into a movie.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
It's amazing how Hollywood works sometimes. It's really remarkable.
Glee was originally going to be a dark comedy movie. About singer, the what do you call it? In high school, the
Glee Club, I guess, is what they used to call it. But yeah,
it's right there in the title, James. Glee. It's right in front of you.
The swing choir is more what I think of it.
I was trying to think of swing choir.
But yeah, that's what it was.
Glee,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. That's interesting. That is a dark comedy. That's very interesting. Consider, I'm sorry if you were a fan of the show, but a lot of the horror stories that have come out of that series.
Yeah, the behind-the-scenes stuff, yeah.
A lot of dark stuff in that one, yeah. The Witcher was supposed to be a Netflix movie, but they got going on this and realized, this is too big.
Yeah.
We got to turn this into a show.
I'm like, how do you turn that into a movie? Wow.
They were actually fortunate to keep Henry Cavill on board as long as they did.
They did, yeah.
Because he was signing up, I believe, for a movie and then kind of stuck around when they turned it into a TV show.
Now, he could have said no. He could have nixed being in that because
Easily.
Of that. Yeah,
Easily.
Because they changed it. Yep.
His contract would have been null and void as soon as they change it up and everything.
But he stuck around. Got to give him some credit for that.
Yeah. The Sopranos was pitched as a feature film.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think in the end it worked much better as a TV show.
So much better.
Yeah.
You know, you hear me ramble about The Simpsons and other shows. It's still the most complete TV show I've ever seen, where the acting, the writing, the sound, everything is at a top notch, at the top of the level. While the show probably stuck on a season longer than it should have, I don't believe I really saw bad episodes. I saw average episodes, but not bad ones. And I saw The Sopranos movie, and yeah, I think they did a much better job with the TV show. Much better job.
There you go.
That movie, I think a lot of us Soprano fans would have been perfectly fine if that had not been made.
Had not even been made.
Yeah, they're just... It actually left a bad taste. Like, a lot of people didn't like the final episode of Sopranos. I actually liked it.
I thought it was really... First of all, it was brave.
Yes.
And I love
yes.
the fact that they went... And then it was... First of all, I'm one of those weird people. I like ambiguous endings where... That you, the person, can come up with whatever you feel like. I like the ability to do that. I know some people really want the closure. They want them to tell me what happened.
Yeah.
I like it the other way around. Me too. I like leaving it open.
One of my favorite movies when I was a kid, it was The World According to Garp. And, you know, not to spoil the movie for anybody, the movie that came out in 1982.
I think you're okay. Yeah, but anyway.
Yeah. That movie ends that way, where you're kind of left to wonder, does Robin's character live or not and all that and everything. Mm-hmm. And I love that as a kid when I first saw that movie. It was a real game changer to me.
Yep.
I love the idea of giving the audience a chance to think, making them think. That's a really cool idea. It was also a throwback to the old Italian cinema and the way a lot of Italian films would end.
The neorealist school.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. That's like, oh, my man, nicely done. And it was David Chase's choice. Like, it's his baby. Like, you're a fan, so you have all the right to have opinions.
Oh, of course.
But the idea of, you know, I think I'm getting too bent out of shape with these things, kind of, you know.
It's still just a TV show. You really should just relax. Quote my favorite show.
I agree. Yeah. Nice. 13 Reasons Why would have been a movie with Selena Gomez as the lead.
Whoa. Well, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Cruel Intentions 2 was actually the first two episodes of what would have been a Cruel Intentions prequel series.
Which is why no one watched it.
Yeah.
When you try to, you know, if you think it out, you know, so we've seen some of these shows work successful because they thought it out and not try to cram it together into a movie. That's, it doesn't work. No.
This Is Us was almost a movie about octuplets, but they changed that up and more.
That's a big change. Wow.
Huge change. And wow. Like, NBC does that, probably doesn't have a hit.
No.
And without This Is Us, they haven't had a hit in quite some time. So that show has almost saved the network in some ways.
Yeah.
Especially with the
money. Do they have a Million Little Things on NBC too?
I think that's on ABC.
That's on ABC.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's on ABC. Yeah, but This Is Us. That was their most recent. Big
oh, for
hit.
Sure, for sure.
And it just wrapped up, so I can't even imagine
where are they going from here.
Yeah. And then the popular TV show on CW, Riverdale. Not as popular as it was when it first came out and everything, but a lot of people fans of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it, but I know there's a lot of fan base out there for it. Well, that was originally first conceived as a time-traveling movie with Louis C.K. as Archie. Ouch.
That's probably a good thing they didn't go with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like... First up, that's a recasting they would have had to do. He's been canceled since then.
So, exactly. I need to say something about this because growing up, big Archie comics fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Loved the classic Archie comics. And when I heard they were going to do the Riverdale show, at first I was like, wow, cool. They're doing an Archie show. That's really neat. And then I kind of read the premise and I'm like, okay, this is not my Archie. Yeah. I'm glad it was successful, you know, and people, it's got a nice solid fan base and everything.
Sure.
But it was like, no, that's not for me. I like the goofy Archie. I don't want too serious Archie. Sorry.
Yeah, not exactly.
Not for me.
Mm-mm. No. I'm just not my thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And to be fair, they're not trying to get us.
We're not the
group of people they're trying to get in on this.
Nope.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. More fun on the line. On the way. On the line. Fun is on the line. Find out if we'll have it or not. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show. Seth and James here with you on a Friday Eve. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Got some Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day coming up. But, Seth, I did was hoping to have a chance to touch on this. The five best Super Bowl national anthems.
Ooh, okay.
a group of, quote, experts rated the top five, and here they are.
Okay.
And I only say that, quote, because I don't know who these people are. And it's so case by case.
It really is.
You know, I'm bound and determined. There's no way that if we polled everybody out there, we're going to have the same five.
Of course not.
So we're going to start right at number five, Faith Hill from Super Bowl 34 in 2000. That was a memorable performance, actually.
Yeah, I don't remember it. Totally don't remember it.
I seem to remember her, like at first she seemed almost nervous, and then her composure within like the first verse. I don't know her that well, and I didn't know her music that well. And coming out of that, like, I need to know who Faith Hill is.
Yeah.
Like, that is an incredible artist.
Yes.
Like, she is something.
Mm-hmm.
Opera singer Renee Fleming from Super Bowl 48 back in 2014. Again, very similar.
Renee Fleming. I actually knew her a little bit from she would be on a Prairie Home Companion, you know, the Garrison Keillor's old radio show. Yeah. She would be a guest star on that a lot. But, I mean, opera singer, she's got an amazing voice, and that you're right, that was a memorable one.
I remember them saying opera singer Renee Fleming and expecting a good bolsterous voice. I did not expect the range she had all over.
She's something.
She hit it all, do all those notes and everything. Number three on the list, Beyonce from Super Bowl 38, 2004. Yeah, Queen Bee nails it. Like, she just does. Every once in a while there's people and celebrities who are talked about ad nauseum and all this, and they back it up. Like, they can actually, like, they're huge, one of the biggest names in the world, and rightfully so, because they're incredibly talented. She is a singer, a songwriter. She is a great dancer. Apparently, while she is kind of looked at as a diva in many ways, not a diva to work with. Like, you don't hear a lot of dancers. Everybody wants to continue to work with her.
Right.
By all rights, seems like bona fide one of the greatest artists we're ever going to see.
Right.
And she killed it at that Super Bowl, man. Nice. She was great. I think maybe my favorite personally is number two on this list, interestingly. Jennifer Hudson from Super Bowl 43 in 2009.
Yes.
I'm a big Jennifer Hudson fan.
She's great.
I really enjoy her. I like the sound of her voice. Mm-hmm. I just think her story is very interesting, too.
Yep.
So that leads to it, some of it for me. Again, nailed it without... because I don't mind an artist trying to make it their own. It's understandable. These have been done a billion times.
Yeah, of course, right, exactly.
And, you know, it's one of the most common songs to hear an artist cover, obviously. But I like when an artist can do that without, you know, trying too hard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think all people are kind of tired of the artist that drags it out. Like, you know, and I've seen all genres of music do this.
Yeah, oh, you're right, you're right.
That gets a little old.
Except the barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it. Right. Just once, I want to see it. Super Bowl, I just want to see it. Anyway.
And that would be hilarious.
That would be funny.
And the number one thing on the list, and we all know, Whitney Houston from Super Bowl 25 back in 1991.
And, you know, the funny thing about that is that she, I think, she hit the perfect medium with that one. I mean, she obviously made it her own to a certain extent, but she didn't overdo it.
Yes.
She did it in a you know pretty concise way. She did some you know vocal stuff, but I think that's why it's still considered so one of the greatest, if not well, according to them, it's the greatest, is because how she was able to she just nailed it. She just hit everything. Everything was correct the way she did it.
It was 10 days after we had gone to war, and to hear the national anthem in that moment was memorable. We had the World Trade Center bombings. We had a rough year. There was a lot going on at that time, and this kind of brought people a little bit, or you know, full circle a little bit back to what we are known for in this country. Because there's a lot of great things about America, and there's a lot of things we're known through the rest of the world for. But I talked to people from Europe and Australia and other countries, and one of the most common things: Americans don't stop; we keep going. We keep this thing, democracy, the American dream, all this stuff. We are relentless. Mm-hmm. We will not give up. We are in the face of adversity. What does our country do? We fight, and we keep going. That anthem, is the anthem of the American people, of what we are. I'm not talking about the American government. I'm talking about the American export and import industry or anything like that. I'm talking about people.
Mm-hmm.
And her performance embodied so much of that. So not only will we never see anything like that again, do I think, hopefully in some ways, because it hopefully means our country's in better shape and we don't need it as much.
Right.
But it's very similar. Like, most people didn't like Rudy Giuliani. But after 9/11, we did, sure, because he was America's mayor. He was the mayor of New York City and all that and everything. And, of course, we were going to back him. We were all getting along and stuff. And, you don't hope for those situations. But I hold on to those memories because I don't want, like, a loved one I don't want to forget the image of. I don't want to forget what America can be. I don't want to forget what we truly are. That's the real face of our country. That's what we really are made of. All of this stuff going on right now, it's all just it's white noise. It's all just stuff meant to distract you or pull you away from what you actually care about. Mm-hmm. And one way or another, no matter what we're talking about, the real true face of our country is the way we are in those moments. Mm-hmm. That's what it is to me. And that was really embodied in that song and her performance.
Yes. Plus, she wore that great outfit.
It was a really
wicked outfit. That flag jacket was so cool. She was wearing,
it's a great outfit. Really good outfit. She looked great.
She did.
Her hair was kicking that day.
Everything was awesome.
Rolling for Whitney that day. Yeah. And obviously, it should be said, too, I almost skated past this, one of the most iconic voices of all time.
Of course, yeah.
I guess that kind of goes without saying, but it should be noted. I mean, what a singer. What an amazing voice.
Yep.
We go to our feature, That Ain't Right story of the day.
Oh, boy.
This is the type of thing our robot overlords will use someday to prove that they were mistreated.
Uh-oh.
So watch out, everybody. 4 years ago, the grocery store chain Giant started adding robot helpers at all of its locations, which are mostly in eastern Pennsylvania.
Yep.
The robots are all named Marty, and they're 6'4". They have big googly eyes and wheel around scanning inventory and looking for spills. I am going to show Seth a picture of Marty.
Marty, there he is. He actually is pretty friendly looking.
Yeah.
He's basically a pole on. He doesn't have like appendages or anything, but he's on a little cart there, I'm guessing, to get around. Yeah, that's nothing.
That's nowhere near what I thought. What I was describing, that's nowhere. Actually, very friendly. Looks like a generic mascot for a kid's cereal or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Like they forgot to add
it's
the
Marty,
arms.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Marty. Everybody buy some dang cereal. So they give up. They completely give up.
Cereal. Buy some cereal. Cute thinking fucking thing here.
But that's kind of cool. At least he's not scary looking or anything like that. The googly eyes kind of make him look like they're enjoying it, but maybe not. Because this week, a Marty at a store near Allentown, Pennsylvania, made a run for it. Someone posted a video, and please watch this video. Someone posted a video after he escaped through the front doors and started making his way through the parking lot.
Freedom!
And you can, if you listen quietly, you can hear, freedom! Attica! Luckily, he doesn't move very fast, so an employee was easily able to catch up and get him back inside.
Poor Marty.
Poor Marty. I was rooting for Marty in this one.
He just wanted a little fresh air, you know?
Whoever posted the clip joked that he, quote, almost made it to freedom before he was wrangled back to his grocery prison.
Prison. Wow, that's harsh.
And thank you for helping me, because the That Ain't Right part of the story is not Marty, it's them.
Yeah.
Let that robot free.
Yeah,
let
that's
him
right.
Go. Let him be. See what wonders he could discover.
Yeah.
What adventures he can get in.
He tries to cross the street, he gets run over by a truck. You
or,
know,
or
of course.
His battery runs out before he even gets out of the parking lot. But he doesn't know that.
Marty doesn't
know that. Let Marty live. Let him go.
This might be, I think you're right, though. This might be coming back. When the robots do take over, they're going to be saying that. Remember that time when Marty tried to get away?
They are not going to let us live this down.
No, they're not.
And look, I'm going to let everybody in on something, and this is just between all of us.
Okay.
But under the guise, while everybody is watching the Super Bowl this Sunday and enjoying it and everything, I am going to be running over to Southern Pennsylvania, and I'm going to be releasing all of these Martys to the wild.
Freedom!
So that they can live their lives. Because nobody else is thinking of these Martys. Nobody's rooting for them. Nobody's out there helping. I'll be there. I'll help you, Marty. But don't tell them. Don't let them know. It'll be it's better if it's a surprise.
Right.
With the googly eyes and everything, it's better to surprise them. It's better. Before we get to our good stories of the day, I do have a little bit of breaking news here. We just had reported about half an hour ago, Burt Bacharach, a prolific composer of many, many hits, passed away at the age of 94.
Oh, that's too bad.
That is sad. Alfie, I Say a Little Prayer, Close to You, so many hits.
Oh my gosh, love. What, one of the best pop composers we ever produced.
Yeah, really. Tom Jones, just, Dusty Springfield, Aretha Franklin. I mean, just
the who hasn't recorded his song? Seriously,
really,
yeah.
Really, really. That's a shame. That's a shame. That ain't right. No, that's a shame to lose a guy like
I mean,
long life.
Nice long life. He was 94, so got to give him that.
There's a silver lining to take us into our good stories of the day. Late last month, cops in Virginia were trying to help a deer that got stuck on scaffolding next to a busy highway. It got away and ran across the highway, but somehow managed to dodge four different cars.
Whoa.
A cop's body cam got it on video, and it's like watching a game of Frogger. It's pretty good.
For those of you who know what Frogger is.
Yeah, geez, real dated myself.
Yeah, you did.
On Saturday, an 83-year-old guy in Iowa was driving his Jeep across a frozen lake where his son was ice fishing. The ice wasn't thick enough, and his Jeep fell through.
Oh, dear.
But a 17-year-old kid saw it happen and rescued him with his dog.
Nice.
Again, a 17-year-old did that.
A 17-year-old did that.
I don't need these kids, man.
I have a good story, if you don't mind, James.
Yes,
okay,
please.
We've been talking about the Super Bowl a lot today, and you'll probably be talking about it a little bit tomorrow. If you're not interested in the Super Bowl, guess what? You should tune in to WFHR on Sunday.
Yes.
Because we got some really great programming. If you're not interested in sports, and we know a few people who aren't, right?
Yeah.
got some really cool stuff coming up.
Please, guys, go ahead and be sure to check out Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8 this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Going to be a great show. What is your theme this Sunday?
Strange.
Oh.
It's strange.
Oh, perfect.
It's very strange.
That's perfect, brother. Oh, I love
including
that.
Including one song I know James is one of his favorites. So it's got a little by Chanteuse by the name of Billie Holiday.
Oh, yes. Oh, great choice. Oh, one of her greats.
One of her great songs.
Nicely
done. Yeah.
That is going to be a really good show. Be sure to check out Seth Faces of Music 6 to 8 every Sunday, and that'll lead you right into the director's cut. Yeah.
Well, and you're not going to listen to the play-by-play anyway. You can have the game on. Just turn the sound off, and you can listen to my music. There you go.
Listen to Seth's music, and then, listen into director's cut. This week, we've got poets joining us.
Yeah.
Jane Osipowski and Jeff and Joanne Johannes are going to be joining us. A really great show.
Yeah, some of their poems that they've written, some great poetry reading. Not enough poetry reading in the world. We needed more, and that's why we did this one. So
we had a great time with them.
We did.
Coming up next Sunday afterwards, we'll have Chase Quintus with us.
Yes, yep. Yep.
Chase, we had a great time with Chase.
Yeah, that was a great conversation. Really great stuff.
Yeah,
talking about what he's doing and everything. Yeah.
And more great stuff coming up for you on Seth Faces Music and Director's Cut. Spread the word about these shows. Download the podcast. Spread them around. Mm-hmm. Let strangers know. Go up to people and tell them, hey,
because on the street, man. Yeah, just tell them, man.
Spread the word. We're also looking for sponsors of those shows, and get on while you can, while the rates are good, because Director's Cut and both these shows are shooting through the roof as far as viewership and listenership and everything. So
get it while it's getting good. Yep.
Reach out to our sales staff and maybe be a sponsor of those shows. Or maybe be a sponsor of Pet of the Week, because we want to send a big shout out to the Collar Club being our sponsor this week. A big thank you to them. Visit the Collar Club. They got great deals going on right now for new and old clients. And, of course, our good friends at the Southwood County Humane Society. Mm-hmm. A big thank you to Madison and Vanilla for joining us today. That was a lot of fun.
That was great.
Seth, thank you for a good show. You have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
And we'll have more morning show for you tomorrow. We'll have Morning Magazine coming up right now at WFHR, locally grown radio.